You're listening to Echoes from the Black Friary, a production created by the students of The Ohio State University and partnered with the Irish Archaeology Field School in Trim, Ireland. Over the course of this podcast, we plan on dissecting what exactly defines a consecrated ground, examine how and why they manifest themselves in Irish folklore, and explore their role in past Irish society. We will begin in 1937 with Sheila Donahue's recounting of the story behind Man in the Sack, a colloquial name for a field that now goes unmarked on local maps.
About a mile from Trim, on the Navan Road, is a spot known locally as Man in the Sack, marked by two tall trees now knit into one. The story goes that years ago, an impertinent young man committed suicide and was buried contrary to the law of the church in Claddy Graveyard, which is consecrated ground. The next day, the body was found overground. Friends of the deceased took the remains and laid them in another graveyard, but with the same result. After several attempts at burial in consecrated earth, the relations were forced to make a grave by the roadside and placed the body of the unhappy man in it. After this, the body was permitted to rest. This is the origin of the name Man in the Sack.
This telling of the Man in the Sack story is just one of many examples of Irish folklore. This particular version, written by Sheila Donahue in the 1930s, vaguely describes a location associated with a burial and seems to dwell heavily on the concept of consecrated ground. The focus placed on consecrated burial grounds has followed us during our time excavating the Black Friary in Trim, Ireland, as many of the same themes that surfaced behind the folklore of Man in the Sack also influenced how the site of the Black Friary was used throughout the years. To gain a further understanding of the concept of consecrated ground, we turned to monastic historian and professor at The Ohio State University, Allison Beach.
What is considered consecrated ground?
Okay, consecrated ground is a pretty simple concept. It really means nothing more than ground that has been blessed or changed liturgically into special demarcated space by a priest.
Okay.
And consecration is a more general term. So you can consecrate a priest, you can consecrate a cup of coffee, you can consecrate anything. Consecrated ground is particularly prepared for burials.
Okay.
Or for the placement of a church there. But consecration just means the making sacred of something, whether a person or a space.
And then, you know, who would have been buried in consecrated ground?
Yeah, well, the purpose of consecrated ground in a cemetery is to prepare it for Christian burial, because the Christian belief is that at some time in the future there's going to be a general raising of the dead and a last judgment, and the people in the Christian cemeteries are going to be raised together. So you see in the Christian imagery of the Middle Ages, you see people coming up from graves with the trumpet sounding. Those are people buried in consecrated ground, and they're sort of ready to get up and go when the last judgment comes.
And then the people who could not be buried in consecrated ground.
Okay,
that's the main
question for the man in the sack issue. So if a baby dies in the process of birth or before birth and is born still, they haven't been baptized. And until 1962, at the Second Vatican Council, that was grounds for exclusion from burial in consecrated ground. An unbaptized baby could not technically be buried in consecrated ground, so that's one. And someone who died in a way that excluded them from salvation, which would mainly be a suicide. So if you killed yourself, you died in a state of mortal sin, and therefore were not qualified or not permitted to be buried in consecrated ground in the Christian context.
Yeah.
While the exact location of Man in the Sack is unclear from Sheila Donahue's description, we were able to piece together some more details about the area in an attempt to find the field. As part of an oral history project called Living Among the Monuments, Trim local Margaret Walsh was kind enough to share her story and the significance of Man in the Sack to her family's history.
Well, I remember my father, if he was going up the fields, you know, I'd say to my mother, be different names on different fields. Mm-hmm. But if he was going to the Man in the Sack, he'd say, I'm heading to the Man in the Sack. If I don't come back, send for the box. The box is the house. He'd be coming back. Yeah. I can remember that. Send for the box. But he'd always say, I'm going to the Man in the Sack, if that's the field he was going to. I don't know whether he was afraid.
Which field is that?
It's, do you know if you say we're at Supermax?
Yeah.
And say you looked across the road,
the
main road, and there's fields there.
Yeah. And there's houses behind them, sort of like.
Yeah.
That's down the lane. The parallel road with the main road.
Yeah. So my mother's and mine, my sons and my brothers and all, are the houses, say, in the field.
Okay.
If you're still at Supermax, you see the houses in the field.
Yes.
Yes.
You know.
From Margaret's interview, we can gather that the field known as Man in the Sack carries different meanings with each of the citizens of Trim. To her family, it was a field in which her father worked, as their land abutted the area on Navan Road that Sheila Donahue referred to in her version of the story. Now armed with new details from Miss Walsh's interview, including a more precise location, referring to the trees opposite Supermax Restaurant, we could set out to find the folkloric spot where the man in the sack was finally laid to rest. In our next episode, follow us as we search for Man in the Sack and continue to learn more about consecrated ground and contextualize the archaeology of the Black Friary. Thank you for listening.